We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following is a Learfield presentation of the UCLA Sports Network. It's time for your weekly look inside UCLA athletics.
Steps into a throw downfield. Dulcich got it. Touchdown, UCLA.
Fires over the middle. It's picked off. UCLA with another takeaway.
He's going to gun the engine and go. Touchdown, UCLA. And here come the Bruins.
Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bruin Insider Show, your weekly look inside UCLA athletics. Coming up, we've got 60 minutes of the best Bruins talk anywhere, including a chat with UCLA head coaches, student athletes, and the latest in on-campus athletics news, live from Westwood. Now, let's join our hosts, Nick Cope, Brian Finley, and Wayne Cook.
Heartbreaking finish for the UCLA football team over the weekend at the Rose Bowl, but as hard as that one was to fathom, we still are going to have a whole lot of fun for this next hour, and this Bruin football team has a whole lot to accomplish as this regular season rolls on. Yes, you have reached the Bruin Insider Show. This is the best place for Bruin talk you will find anywhere, and let's welcome you to the crew. Wayne Cook, former UCLA quarterback, he is under center. Flanked over to my right, Nick Cope, wearing those gloves, he is in the slot. He averages about 5 to 6 receptions per game, and then there I am, someone as a third string holder. All of us work together to make you the Bruin Insider Show. We can you can follow all of us on social media. Do not be shy. Wayne is on Twitter, Wayne Cook UCLA, Nick N-K-O-O-P. I'm at Brian Fenley. So as we look at what is on the menu for this next hour, of course, we're going to analyze the way things went for the Bruins against this Oregon team that, well, they were devastating when it came to the line of scrimmage, Kayvon Thibodeau, and particularly the penalties and how those seem to be an issue for the Bruins. But we'll talk about ways to fix things. And Wayne, I have to say, despite the fact things did not go the Bruins' way and they fell by just 3 points, the fact that they battled back at the end, down 17, got it to within 3. I know nobody likes moral victories, but there had to be a little bit of a tinge of hope and excitement just to see the way the guys were resilient like that.
Well, first of all, Brian, for all of us, okay, for all of us that are diehard UCLA fans, for everybody listening, for even casual fans, it's we all just want to scream. It's been so close. This team is better. They play hard, which we can all root for. Like, right, I always say that, like, the one thing I can't stand is when players don't give it their all. I love how hard this team plays. You talk about how they fought back. But it just makes you want to scream because this team looks so good when they jumped out to a 14-0 lead. And everything looked like it was going well. And it felt like this had a chance to be one of those days where UCLA could take that next step. And then everything went wrong. The second and third quarter was just a nightmare. And then this team found a way to force some turnovers, to fight back, to cause some mistakes from Oregon, and had a chance. And this is where I want to scream. It's like, we've got Dorian Thompson-Robinson. We're moving down the field. This guy's a warrior. He took a hit at one point in time where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I thought he was going to split in two. And then he came back and he kept playing, and then he finally went out, and you're going, oh, no, oh, no. And then Garbers comes in and hits a couple passes. You're going, oh, yes, this is going to be one of those amazing moments in UCLA history. And then it ended with an interception, and it was just – you could just feel it from Bruin fans everywhere. We're so close, but yet we just can't find a way to get over the hump. So I'm with you. There's still so much more to play, but it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be upset. But I promise you, this team is going to work hard, and it does not get easier. On the road at Utah is tough. So they've got to find a way to get back after it because there's still so much left to play for.
Yeah, Wayne, you really summed up the roller coaster ride of the fourth quarter pretty well. I will say, though, every time the Bruins have lost this year, they have followed it up with a road win. This is probably the toughest road win that they will have to get to keep that trend going. The Utes are very good at home, but this is a game that both teams absolutely have to have, another big game to get up for. So really excited and looking forward to that. And I do want to give a shout out to the UCLA students. They showed up for College Game Day on Saturday, and it looked fantastic. I know people were, there's a little bit of doubt. Are the UCLA students going to come out? How's it going to look? It looked fantastic. And so that was really great to see. The fans showed up at the Rose Bowl. So really appreciate that. And looking forward, Brian, to this team getting back at it on Saturday.
Yeah, we are going to look at that game. Over 55,000 packed at the Rose Bowl. It was an incredible environment. The energy was there. And as you guys were talking about, so close. If Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he looked like he was on a groove there on that final drive. If he was able to stay in the game, how the outcome might have been different. But before we go into our next segment, we are going to go full breakdown into what we saw from the UCLA Oregon game. A reminder, the Team Talk is brought to you in part by the Coffee, Bean, and Tea Leaf, born and brewed in Southern California since 1963 and home of the original ice blended drink. The Coffee, Bean, and Tea Leaf has grown to over 1,000 stores in nearly 30 countries. Visit coffeebean.com for more information. So coming up next, we look at where the Bruins went awry and where they can correct things from that tight loss over the weekend against the Ducks. You're listening to the Bruin Insider Show on the UCLA Sports Network from Learfield.
It's Looney Tunes versus Goons, and LeBron James is leading the charge in Space Jam, A New Legacy, now available at Redbox. When LeBron and his son are trapped in a digital space, they join the Looney Tunes gang and face a powered-up roster of NBA and WNBA stars on the court. The high-stakes game scores lots of laughs and shines a light on the power of being yourself. Watch Space Jam, A New Legacy, and make it a Redbox night. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
What do the Bruins and superstar Aaron Donald have in common? Both are powered by Ready, the official protein of UCLA Athletics. Ready is fueling Bruin athletes and Aaron with the best-in-class all-natural protein water, bars, powders, and snacks backed by cutting-edge sports nutrition. And Ready can power Bruin fans, too. Check out Ready on Amazon or at TeamReady.com. That's TeamReady.com. Ready, the official protein of UCLA Athletics. Championship nutrition fueling UCLA champions.
Bruin fans, when you need your oil change, don't waste hours sitting in a dirty waiting room. Just head to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-thru oil change. Pull in, let the technicians get to work, and you're done in 15 minutes. Valvoline Instant Oil Change can handle almost every vehicle, including hybrids, diesels, and luxury models. They can also handle your preventative maintenance needs, like changing your air filter or wiper blades. For locations and coupons, visit SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, proud sponsor of UCLA Athletics.
Well, Bob, I don't like Hunger's chances here, not against this feast of an IHOP defensive line.
That's right, Jim. They got burgers, chicken sandwiches, french fries, bacon, and condiments as far as the eye can see.
Heck of a lineup, Bob. They've been slaying Hunger in the backfield this whole season. Makes you wonder how Hunger finds the courage to get back out there.
Empty tummy, 42 pancakes.
The blitz is on, and oh, Hunger is demolished. demolished once again.
It never stood a chance, Bob.
Tackle your hunger with IHOP's Game Day Family Feasts.
Have a question for any of our guests? Tweet us at UCLA Athletics using the hashtag Bruin Insider Show, or visit UCLABruins.com/insider to submit your question each week. Now, let's rejoin our hosts, Nick Cope, Ryan Finley, and Wayne Cook.
Bruin football had this game over the weekend, a 14-0 against the number 10 team in the country, those Oregon Ducks, but then Oregon found a way. They got Travis Dye 4 touchdowns on the ground. Then there was the big run by Anthony Brown, the quarterback, for a score, and things went the Ducks' way. They hang on to the end thanks to a pick from Ethan Garbers, who had to come in for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But the score, 34-31, the final score. But Wayne, here is what I wanted to discuss first, because I thought when it came to the line of scrimmage, and obviously what a cliche it is in football to say, well, you win the line of scrimmage, you win the ball game. But it really looked like Oregon had the advantage in the physicality department on both sides of the ball, specifically on defense, where it looked like there were pressures coming at Dorian Thompson-Robinson almost every single play. He had a lot of discomfort, anxiety-inducing situations. He ultimately gets knocked out. And it came from a guy in Kayvon Thibodeau who had an incredible stat line. 2 sacks, 4.5 tackles for a loss. This man was wreaking havoc all over the place, and it was hard to get to him if you were UCLA.
So this is there's so much here to unpack, because I agree with what you said. Okay, the defensive front for Oregon was very good. Kayvon Thibodeau, who really hasn't played. Even in the last game he played, he only played half of the game because of a targeting penalty. We know he's been injured. I know he didn't play in the Ohio State game, which Oregon won on the road at Ohio State. This is an elite team. For whatever reason, the brilliant minds at ESPN have decided that, you know, everybody's allowed to improve as long as they're Ohio State and Alabama, and people are allowed to lose games as long as they're certain teams, right? But if Oregon in the Pac-12 has a team that beats Ohio State, but they've been playing kind of meandering through the season, that even though they're winning, it's not good enough, and they put them way down the list of where I think they should be. This team is getting healthy. I think their Achilles heel is probably Anthony Brown, and we saw why, because he made a couple of big mistakes in this game with the interceptions that cost them quite a bit, or else this game might not have been so close. I'm not saying UCLA didn't deserve those things, but those are just bad throws and bad plays. When you have a lead, if he just eats those and takes the sack or throws it out of bounds, he's much better off. But other than that, this is an elite team, and UCLA fought with them and was right there. And early on in the game, they looked like they were every bit as good as Oregon. But you said it, with Thibodeau and with Noah Sewell, number one, who are two just players that just jump off the screen when you go back and watch this game over and over and over again. They're just great football players. They're players that would start and play on any team in the country. And so, you know, UCLA, whose offensive line has been great all year, was dealt with a very aggressive, blitzing, talented defense. And you called it, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson had to fight like crazy. Like, that's one of those games and people out there, if you've ever played quarterback, you've ever had one of those games where the other team was just beating you and just hitting you. It doesn't matter how many sacks you get. It matters how many times you get hit. And all the times that Dorian runs and scrambles and gets hit after he throws, I mean, he had some throws in this game, you guys, that were absolutely ridiculously good. Some completions over the middle where he was just getting pummeled as he was getting rid of the ball and throwing it off balance. And he kept getting up until he couldn't get up anymore at the end. And I can promise you this, I've played in games like that where you're just getting hit over and over and over again. And he, on Sunday, that dude was sore. If he wasn't in the training room, I know he was in there for whatever injury he has, but he was probably also in there sitting in an ice bath too, because his body probably hurt like crazy. So give Oregon all the credit in the world. It was a great game. It lived up to the College Game Day matchup. But I 100% agree with you, Brian, that front seven of Oregon was a serious story in this game. They were very, very good.
I want to stick there with Dorian, Wayne, because he showed in this game he's as tough as anyone can be, but he also showed how much he's improved with his decision-making because he was able to hang in there with the rush coming in, keep his eyes downfield. Remember a couple years ago, it seemed like he would always try to serpentine his way out of the pocket and find an avenue. He keeps himself moving forward now. And just some of the really athletic plays. Remember, was it the fourth down and two where he's running right and there's two guys right there and he somehow is able to make the cutback and get the first down. The keeper where he ran it in, that capped off that drive where the Bruins had to have a score. They had just gone down 34-17. And that ensuing drive, that was all DTR throwing the ball down the field. He finished it with his legs. And so while his stat line doesn't jump off the screen, the things he did throughout the game to keep UCLA in it, he gets a lot of flack, Wayne, but I thought he really demonstrated how much he has grown in this game with all the little things he was able to do.
So at this point, I agree with everything you said. And by the way, that one run where he cut back, that was incredible because that was a crucial first down. And his legs almost buckled on him. I don't know if you saw that. It looked like his right leg almost gave out. It kind of slipped a little bit.
Yeah, he got the defender to slide down and lose his footing too. Yeah,
and he had the athleticism to make that play. And so, like, to me, you know, the DTR detractors, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't get it at this point. He's a young man that gives you everything he's got. He's extremely tough. He puts his body out there and just sacrifices everything he has for his teammates. You pointed out all the thing he's gotten better at. Like, sometimes what I think people don't realize about athletes is that, you know, no athlete's going to be perfect. I mean, when Tom Brady didn't win Super Bowls, people still find things. Oh, he's too old. He's too slow. When Peyton Manning, he's too old. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's not any good anymore. Oh, what's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? You know, with the Kansas City's not winning games. It takes a couple of bad games or a bad, you know, like we just automatically decide that sometimes people aren't good enough anymore. This is a team sport. I played in a Rose Bowl my junior year, and you know, I think some of the fan base, at least, I know not everybody, but some of the fan base thought I was pretty good. But the next year we had some problems and some injuries and offensive line and receivers, and we didn't win as much, and people were booing me. I mean, Mario Cristobal talked about his quarterback being booed at Oregon when they're, you know, have one loss and they're, you know, top 10 team. It's really hard. And I tell anybody that wants to be a quarterback that you have to learn to block all that stuff out. I'm proud of how Dorian Thompson, how hard he plays. And that's what I'm going to say. I think he plays really hard. I think he's gotten better. I think he's going to keep getting better because that's the type of young man he is. And so we have other issues, though. And I know we're going to get to that later, but we're still losing this a lot of our games because our pass defense can't figure out a way. I mean, it seems like every opposing quarterback, and I know we had a couple interceptions, so this is going to sound bad, but there's just way too many completions that are way too easy. It just feels like the opposing quarterback always has a big game against us. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody because it's different people. Sometimes it's pass rush, but, you know, the offense typically is scoring a lot of points. But we have to figure out a way to stop people. And I think, you know, some parts of the defense is good, but other parts of our defense tend to let us down. So, but again, this was a great game that came down to 3 points. And by the way, we probably made a field goal that didn't count. So there's other things that happened too.
You're listening to the Bruin Insider Show. That, of course, the voice of Wayne Cook, Nick Cope, I'm Brian Fenley. And Wayne, to your point about the naysayers of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I thought after the game, once UCLA fell to Oregon 34-31, Bruin linebacker Jordan Jenmark-Keith, he said, look, the quarterback in DTR should not be getting the blame that he is getting. Jordan said, like, for a defense to allow an offense to go up and down the field and score on you, that's not Dorian Thompson-Robinson's fault, but it seems like too many times people are liking to throw all the fault on him, which you pointed out, Wayne, is a mistake. Coming up next, we look at some of those mistakes Wayne was talking about when it comes to pass defense and how the Bruins can clean things up after what they showed against Oregon. Plus, what about the self-inflicted miscues and how they haunted UCLA and how if they didn't show up, how the outcome of this game would have been much different. Those are coming up in conversation next. You're listening to the Bruin Insider Show on the UCLA Sports Network from Learfield.
CarWraps.com is Southern California's premier source for creating a distinctive and cool look on any vehicle. Prior to wraps, the only way to alter a car's appearance was a paint job. With CarWraps.com, your new look will withstand wind, rain, cold, and heat. Promote your business or show your love for the Bruins by wrapping your car, truck, or RV. You can change the color of your car by wrapping your entire vehicle. We have hundreds of colors available and can create any wrap or custom design. CarWraps.com. Do you, and let our experts make your vision a reality. A proud partner of UCLA Athletics.
Have you ever had cheesesteak with chicken fingers, mozzarella sticks, crisp bacon, fried eggs, fries, mayo, ketchup, salt, pepper on a fresh baked gyro? Well, the tens of thousands of fans of Fat Sal's Deli have. That's what we do at Fat Sal's. Since 2010, we've been building mouth-watering, over-the-top, one-of-a-kind creations. Come try us out at one of our three Southern California locations, Encino, Hollywood, and right in the heart of Westwood Village. For details, visit our website, fatsalsdeli.com. We're making sandwiches over here.
Show off your Bruin pride with the new Westcom Bruin Edge Visa credit card. Earn 5 points on select UCLA purchases and 1.5 points everywhere else. Redeemable for rewards that will make you want to 8-clap. Plus, enjoy no annual fee or foreign transaction fees and get a $500 cashback bonus when you spend $2,500 in the first 3 months. Now that's better banking for Bruins. Visit Westcom.org to apply and for terms and conditions.
San Manuel Casino is changing its name and changing the game. San Manuel Casino is now Yamaba Resort and Casino at San Manuel. With two new casino floors, now with over 6,500 slots, the most in the West. A new high-limit room for 5 elevated gaming experiences. New luxury retail shops, restaurants, and bars. And even more thrills to come. Experience a level of thrill that California has never seen before. San Manuel Casino is now Yamaba Resort and Casino at San Manuel. Details at Yamaba.com. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
The Bruin Insider Show continues now. Here's Nick Cope, Brian Finley, and Wayne Cook.
And we continue recapping UCLA football's defeat over the weekend at the Rose Bowl to then the number 10 team in the country, Oregon, 34-31. Before we get into all of that and we continue our conversation, a reminder that UCLA alumnus Uncle Artie Pernia is proud to announce Pernia Law is the official law firm sponsor of UCLA Athletics. Pernia Law is now offering free consultations and all UCLA students, alumni, faculty, and fans to all of them. Just go to plglaw.com to coordinate your free consultation. That's plglaw.com. The crew is here. We are working that triple option. Wayne Cook, Nick Cope, I'm Brian Finley. And one of the things that standed out to me in this game was not necessarily how Oregon beat the Bruins, but how at times the Bruins beat themselves. And I go back to the penalties. And we have seen at times this season where we've had an influx of them and how harmful they have been to the Bruins' chances of winning ball games, particularly in the red zone here. Think about this. There were two interceptions that should have been had by the Bruins, one by Quentin Lake, the other by Devin Kirkwood, both of them wiped out because of offside penalties. And then you throw in another offside penalty and a defensive holding penalty, and then Cam Johnson gets thrown out because of targeting. And Wayne, all of these things, if you can eliminate it, we might be talking about a different result, because then Anthony Brown, the quarterback, is throwing four interceptions. He had two in this game, but he should have just as much had four.
Yes. Okay, so I'll start with the Quentin Lake interception when he was lined up in the neutral zone. That one hurt. I mean, that one really hurt. I just felt like that was such a huge play at that moment. And at the time, I mean, I was frustrated. So I'm like, come on, ref, why call that? Like, why call that? I mean, did he really get an advantage on the play for his toe being, you know, too close? I mean, I didn't see how far in the neutral zone he was, so I didn't go back and look. But I was like, oh. Sometimes I wish, I feel like sometimes refs keep their flags in their pocket, and sometimes they don't. I mean, how many times have you been watching TV where it looks like a guy's obviously in the neutral zone and they don't call it? Yeah. Feels like I see it more often than I should. But I don't know. I'm not going to complain about that, but I'm with you. When you play in big-time games, and I've said this many times over the years, when you play in big-time games, the self-inflicted wounds and the penalties and all this stuff are amplified by like 1,000. This was a championship-caliber game. Two really good football teams that had you know, an opportunity to, if they keep winning games, to play in a conference championship. And, you know, UCLA made too many mistakes. They also made a lot of great plays, you guys. I mean, we had so many positive, like from turnovers to block punts, to we had plays that mattered that you would think you would win a game. But we also had two quarters where we looked like not a very good football team, where we kind of fell asleep, where it felt like Oregon made adjustments and we just couldn't kind of figure it out. And then we fought back and we had a chance to win at the end. But to your point, Brian, the mistakes in a big-time game – college game day, big time atmosphere. We just made too many, and you've got to clean that up, because we said it before. It's not like it's going to get any easier in Utah, because that crowd's always hostile and loud. This was a home game. And by the way, you know, we stem just like they do. Like when they yell move and their, you know, defensive linemen all shift and we jump off sides, well, we do some of that too. So, you know, you just have to be more disciplined, and you have to find a way not to make those mistakes in big-time games.
The thing for me, guys, in this game is the inability to get off the field on third down, really for the second straight week. Remember, Washington was 9 of 14 converting third downs. Oregon was 7 for 9 on third down in this game. And it seemed like on third downs, the Bruins gave up that wide side of the field 7-8 yard out time after time, Wayne. And since you're a quarterback and you've looked at coverages a lot, maybe you can help us understand what's going on some of those plays, because we see the man-on-man coverage over there, and time after time it just seemed like the receiver was able to jog up 7 yards, turn to the left and turn, and boom, there's the ball right there on their hands. What are you seeing going on those plays?
Well, let's start with, this is in my opinion the biggest problem with this team. Right. I mean, I'll even go back to the Arizona game. If you remember before Jordan McLeod got hurt, it just felt like they were throwing the ball at will in the first half. Mm-hmm. And they also had the ball a lot. Remember how few possessions that UCLA had. I've always said this team, if they could just get the offense the ball more, the offense can be a strength, you know. The soft coverage, and as a quarterback, if you've got that coverage that you just described, and Anthony Brown isn't, you know, a superstar as far as throwing the ball. I think he's a really good player when you combine his legs and his arm, but he was making these throws like he was playing catch to a friend in the front yard when he was a little kid. I mean, it's just too open. It's too easy. I mean, you saw it. Like, I'll give you some great examples. At the end of the game, we saw Dorian Thompson-Robinson throw one of those same type of out routes that was almost intercepted. And then we saw Ethan Garbers, when he got in the game, throw one of those exact same type of out routes, and it got intercepted in the game. But when they're throwing it, it feels like they've got 3 yards of cushion, which is easy. Those are easy throws. So I don't know. I don't know if we're just too afraid of getting beat deep. I'm not sure, but it just feels like, you know, on many of these games, we're just really struggling with not giving up those types of throws and giving up too many first downs. I don't really have the answer, other than maybe playing more zone, maybe playing more too deep, or if you're going to play man, playing more press and up coverage. But, yeah, you do risk getting beat deep. But, you know, just you're kind of bleeding to death when you give up all these, you know, and we saw it way too much in this game and the last game and the game before that, where they just keep converting on third down. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I like wake up and have nightmares about this stuff. I'm like, oh, my gosh, third down, third and 7, they got 8. Oh, third and 15, they got 16. I mean, it's just one of those things that I'm like, holy cow, let's make a stop so we can get this offense the ball back and give them an opportunity to score.
That's the voice of Wayne Cook. Of course, you're listening to the Bruin Insider Show. Nick Cope, I'm Brian Fenley. An Oregon team, as we recap the Oregon-UCLA football game from Saturday, the Ducks predominantly, guys, have been exploding offensively in the fourth quarter. In this particular contest, the Bruins were able to thwart the Ducks in what they were able to do. Now, as we talk about the pass defense, and Wayne, to your point, while things mostly, and when it came to the big plays, the guys were not in their right position, but there were positive parts as well with the Jordan, Jenmar Keith, certainly at the linebacker spot, but he gets the pick. Then you have Jay Shaw with the interception, and then the scoop up off the fumble for Jay Shaw. But here's something I want to throw at you guys as to why in the second half Oregon was able to thread us deep. And nobody's talking about it, but Cam Johnson, about 2 minutes into the third quarter, on a questionable targeting call, is ejected from the game. That is somebody who is a veteran on this team. He is one of those field generals out there who has a bevy of experience that the Bruins did not have his services for just about all of the second half. I wonder, Wayne, and again, we are in a position where we're not playing Monday morning quarterback. We're playing Tuesday afternoon / evening quarterback here on the Bruin Insider Show. How, if a Cam Johnson was in late, again, how the complexion of this game might have been different.
So, yeah, this whole targeting, you know, and I, again, you know, whether it's really, you know, targeting or not, it's targeting across the country affects so many teams. I mean, it's yeah. it's just a penalty that, in my opinion, is way too strict for college athletes to have to miss, especially if it's in the second half, to have to miss a half of football and then to have to miss the first half of the next game. To me, for kids that only get to play, you know, a 12-game season, that just seems silly. I mean, make it a 15-yard penalty, you know, shoot, have a penalty box where you have to go sit in there for two series. I don't know. come up with something different than what you're doing because, you know, it really has an impact on games. And when these games are so crucial and each game matters so much in college football, you know, it just seems silly. They've got to come up with a better rule. But here's the deal, though, you guys. It's not like Devin Kirkwood hasn't played a ton this year. It's not like Devin Kirkwood didn't make the big interception against him, because that's pretty much who came in, because Jay Shaw's been playing so much more, and, you know, he had that big interception late in the game. To be honest with you, and Brian, I don't disagree, because I like the way that Cam's played all year. Mm-hmm. UCLA made all the plays they needed to down the stretch. I mean, really, after two really bad quarters, they flat out made every play. I mean, the Ginmark Keith interception, the Jay Shaw interception, yeah, that was a dumb call by Oregon, and I think even their coaches have admitted that they shouldn't have done that. But, you know, Anthony Brown, if you want to be great, you got to know to throw that away or make a better throw there. But still, UCLA did everything they could. They had Dorian Thompson-Robinson in a position to drive down the field down three and either tie the game or win, and he got hurt. I mean, it was just such a bummer, because it was set up for something great. So I think it stinks that Cam got hurt, but I still think the defense, you know, I was kind of negative the last part I was talking about the pass defense, but I always say this, it's not about how hard these guys are playing. It really isn't. And they still found a way to make big plays and give UCLA a chance to win. It just didn't work out. And that's what makes this game so, I mean, we have heartache all the time in sports. I don't care if you're a fan of the Lakers or the Dodgers or UCLA or USC or anybody across the country. There's always going to be those moments where you're like, man, if we could have just won that one, you know, what could have been? And that's what makes sports so great. It's the ups and downs and all the emotion that goes into it.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add here, Brian, is that, yeah, the targeting penalty is just unfortunate. I think by definition it is, but –
yep.
You know, he's not trying to hurt anybody. He's just trying to make a tackle. Guys lower head, so it's a tough break. I feel sorry for Cam that he's not going to be able to play the first half, but I've loved what we've seen out of Devin Kirkwood. Like Wayne said, he loves going toe-to-toe with guys and is an aggressive player. So I look forward to see what he can do against Utah on Saturday, Brian.
Yeah, and speaking of somebody who's going to miss the first half of next week's game or this upcoming Saturday, Devin Lloyd for Utah. The Bruins are playing the Utes. Lloyd, an All-American linebacker, so it'll be interesting to see that dynamic as we begin to look at the upcoming matchup. Plus, what is this quarterback situation looking like? We mentioned the Dorian Thompson-Robinson might not be 100%. Is Ethan Garber's going to go? We'll look at both quarterbacks and what they could do, depending upon who plays, when they go on the road this Saturday and take on the Utes. You're listening to the Bruin Insider Show on the UCLA Sports Network from Learfield.
At Jersey Mike's, we take great satisfaction in getting that perfect meat slice.
Yes.
But we don't do it for fun. We do it for fresh. Because slice to order makes a sub above.
It's Looney Tunes versus Goons, and LeBron James is leading the charge in Space Jam, A New Legacy, now available at Redbox. When LeBron and his son are trapped in a digital space, they join the Looney Tunes gang and face a powered-up roster of NBA and WNBA stars on the court. The high-stakes game scores lots of laughs and shines a light on the power of being yourself. Watch Space Jam, A New Legacy, and make it a Redbox night. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Ready, the official protein of UCLA Athletics, is one of the fastest-growing sports nutrition brands in America. Ready is fueling Bruin athletes with best-in-class, all-natural protein water, bars, powders, and snacks, backed by cutting-edge sports nutrition. And Ready is now available to power Bruin fans, too. Check out Ready on Amazon or at TeamReady.com. That's TeamReady.com. Ready, the official protein of UCLA Athletics. Championship nutrition, powering UCLA champions.
Alone, chicken, onions, peppers, and cheese have potential. Together, they have a purpose, a destiny, and a name.
Jersey Mike's number 16 chicken Philly, because grilled to order makes a sub above.
Hey, Bruin fans, this season UCLA alum and proud attorney sponsor of UCLA Athletics, Uncle Artie Pernia, is offering free 15-minute consults for all Bruins fans, alumni, students, and faculty. Just go to plg.law or text Uncle directly on his cell at 310-739-6779 to coordinate your in-person or Zoom meeting. Having won 5 of the top 100 verdicts in 2020 in California and specializing in accidents, slip and falls, and business disputes, Uncle wants to help you maximize your settlement, too. We trust Uncle Artie, and you can, too. Go Bruins!
Have a question for any of our guests? Tweet us at UCLA Athletics using the hashtag Bruin Insider Show, or visit UCLABruins.com/insider to submit your question each week. Now, let's rejoin our hosts, Nick Cope, Ryan Finley, and Wayne Cook.
UCLA football visiting Utah this weekend, and if you looked at what the Utes did over last weekend against Oregon State, where the Beavers won, it was video game-like numbers that Utah defense gave up when it came to the Beavs' rushing attack. Speaking of that, and we'll get into the matchup in just a moment between UCLA and the Utes, but attention student gamers, the $150,000 Next Level Madden National Championship is back, sponsored by Unilever, supporting Feeding America with 1 million meals this fall. Registration closes October 11th, so be sure to sign up now at levelnextesports.com. So we are all here, the triple option, Nick Cope, Wayne Cook, I'm Brian Fenley, here with you up until the top of the hour. And we look at this Utah-UCLA matchup, and Utah, coming off last weekend, or going into the game against Oregon State, had won 3 in a row. It looked like the Utes were going to run away with the South Division. They were undefeated, and then here comes Oregon State, Wayne, and their rushing attack carving up Utah. Kyle Whittingham, the head coach for the Utes, when in preparation for this game and looking back at last week's loss to Oregon State, called his defense soft. He even said that there's a lot of, I know, and he said it a couple times. He also said that, look, there's a lot of youth on the front line. They do have Mike Tafua, who leads the conference in sacks, that defensive edge extraordinaire who comes off the edge and has 5.5 sacks, but they've got 3 freshmen on the line. And then you throw in the whole concept of Devin Lloyd, their All-American linebacker, having to miss the first half of this game because of a targeting call in the last game. And if you ask Whittingham what he thinks about the targeting call, let's just say he doesn't agree with it. But how do you feel like this could be a bounce-back game, Wayne, considering the struggles that Utah had against the run game and how UCLA goes to that and how they're able to sort of find their niche through that channel?
So first, okay, there's a lot of stuff here. First of all, very clever the way you said video game numbers. And for that,
did you see that? Somebody had to have caught that. Somebody.
I caught that, but before you got to me, it took so long, I was almost like, should I bring it up or not? Very, very clever. I thought
Thank
that was
you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Second of all, this Utah team, you guys, they're 3 games, and again, I'm not looking at the schedule right now, but I'm pretty sure they've lost at BYU, at San Diego State, and at Oregon State. Correct?
That's correct.
Yes, that's correct.
So that their schedule, if you really pay attention to it, has been pretty daunting, right? I mean, you know, San Diego State's got one of the best defenses in the country, and they're playing really well. BYU's tough, and this, if you haven't been paying attention to Jonathan Stewart and Oregon State, like, I'm thankful now that we didn't have to play Oregon State this year. They're really, really good, and playing in Corvallis is very, very difficult. That game, the more I watched it, it could have gone either way, right? I mean, this was like an offensive back and forth and back and forth, and it was actually a really fun game to watch. But to your point, this doesn't feel like the same type of defense from Utah. But you have to give credit with what Oregon State's offense is doing. But yes, I think UCLA has some opportunities. I love UCLA a lot more when they're running the ball. But we remember that when UCLA faces that 8, sometimes even 9 in the box, they have to be able to throw the ball to loosen that defense up. I mean, every defense that we play against now is going to have a game plan of, we've got to stop UCLA's running game. First, we got to stop Charbonnet and Britton Brown, and then we have to stop Dorian Thompson-Robinson from running the ball. We want UCLA to throw the ball to beat us. I mean, that's the game plan. And so that's all important. And as far as Coach Whittingham calling out his players – This is what I think is awesome about coaches across the country. For everybody that's like, ooh, because I think Brett Bielema did that as well at Illinois, and look at what just happened to them, right? They just had a huge victory. If you can't handle your coach calling you out, Nick Saban's been doing it for years. If you can't handle it, and I promise you, if anybody has respect in Utah from the players that play for him, if he calls them soft, then they all better be looking at themselves in the mirror, because that guy that rides into the games on a Harley and looks like he still works out quite a bit, if he's calling you soft, then maybe you just might be playing soft. So they need to step it up, and they need to play better. And I have a feeling that they're going to come back against UCLA, and they're going to have a game plan. And UCLA is going to have to be ready for it, because last time I checked, I've been to quite a few of these games in Utah. It's not an easy place to play, and I don't think we fared very well. So this has to have our absolute, absolute attention. And this is another LSU, Oregon, college game type atmosphere. This needs to be a game that we care about a ton, because if you win this one, now you got Utah with two losses. I'm telling you, Arizona State still has a couple games they could lose. Okay? You can get right back into this thing. So this game has to have every second of your attention all week. You can't be pouting about last week. Figure out how to get over that and come ready to play this week.
And if we know anything about this team, I don't think that will be an issue either.
Right.
And just to tack on the point about Utah's run defense, statistically, the numbers back it up. They're currently on track to have their worst rush defense in Kyle Whittingham's tenure. The caveat to that is they have been a lot better on the road. I do, Wayne, quickly want to talk about the flip side of the ball, because one of the subplots to this game, the two best quarterbacks to come out of Newberry Park High School are going to be on the field on Saturday. It's up to you, Wayne. You tell me who's number one. You're number one, but Cam Rising is
number two. I know, Keith Smith, all you guys out there, I'm always going to say I'm the best because that's the way I'm wired. But Cam Rising is really good, and I know we need to take a break right now, but I will tell you, if you watch him, don't sleep on his legs. This dude is an athletic. Nope. He's a very athletic quarterback. He can run. He can make you miss. And so he's going to cause a lot of problems. You have to watch out not just his arm strength, but his feet. He's very, very mobile.
Wayne, you guys have more in common, you and Cam Rising. You both radiate a lot of positivity. And that is exactly what people on the
Good
Utes program
–
Good hair. Oh, my God.
He's got better hair than I do. Come on.
Wayne, I saw your hair on Saturday, and it was fresh. I mean, I got to find out who your barber is before I lose all my hair, because whoever's doing it is doing a great job. when we come back, we're going to get a little bit more deeper into that quarterback conversation. Specifically, what does UCLA do here, considering the potential need to go with their backup in Ethan Garbers? Of course, there's a couple days before the game starts, but is it Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Ethan Garbers? We'll look at how both of them could fare against Utah as we return. You're listening to the Bruin Insider Show on the UCLA Sports Network from Learfield.
It's time for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Bruin Insider Show continues now. Here's Nick Cope, Brian Finley, and Wayne Cook.
UCLA football taking on Utah on Saturday. The Bruins are 5-3 on the season. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. West Coast time. Ask Chip Kelly what he thinks about those late start times, and he's not too happy. But he's happy to be playing football, happy to have a winning record with this club as they take it to a Utah team, Nick, which is not the voracious, defensive-minded club that we have known that Kyle Whittingham, the head coach, has put out in the past. It seems to me that they're relying more on their offense. They're trying to outscore opponents, not necessarily grinding opponents down by limiting their touchdowns, but trying to get it done more on the offensive side. Cam Rising, who we talked about, the quarterback, wasn't even the starter at the beginning of the season. Now he is the guy, he is the captain, he's a dual threat guy. Nick, here's what I wanted to throw at you. As far as dual threat, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, we saw he went out with an injury at the end of the game over the weekend against Oregon. If Ethan Garbers has to go and play, I honestly don't see a lot of drop-off considering how well both of these guys play and their grasp of the offense.
Yeah, and quarterback depth will be a concern if Dorian Thompson-Robinson isn't available, because Chase Griffin as well, he did not suit up last weekend. He has not been available at practice, so that would mean potentially Ethan Garber starting, and then Chase Artopias would have to be your backup. So that's really challenging quarterback depth. But in regards to Garbers, I love the way he stepped in there. I mean, he was confident in the pocket there at the end. He looked ready for the moment, had a couple great strikes. This is a guy that was great at Corona Del Mar. As a senior, he threw for over 5,000 yards, went 16-0. They won a state championship, went to Washington, of course. They fired their OC, Bush Hamden, so he comes back closer to home. So if he has the opportunity, he's going to relish it and do well.
Yeah, he's going to sling it all over the place. His older brother, Chase, quarterback for Cal, looking on with a lot of pride at younger brother Ethan. Of course, there's still a couple days to figure out who is playing at that QB spot, but it could be Dorian, it could be Ethan. We'll continue to keep an eye on it. All right, coming up next, Mike Powell, two-time world champ, two-time Olympic silver medalist, a Bruin, joining us for a neat conversation as part of the 2020 UCLA Athletic Hall of Fame induction class. That is next on the Bruin Insider Show.
Bruin fans, when you need your oil change, don't waste hours sitting in a dirty waiting room. Just head to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Pull in, let the technicians get to work, and you're done in 15 minutes. Valvoline Instant Oil Change can handle almost every vehicle, including hybrids, diesels, and luxury models. They can also handle your preventative maintenance needs, like changing your air filter or wiper blades. For locations and coupons, visit SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, proud sponsor of UCLA Athletics.
Well, Bob, I don't like Hunger's chances here. Not against this feast of an IHOP defensive line.
That's right, Jim. They got pancakes, sausage, bacon, hash browns, and even scrambled eggs.
Heck of a lineup, Bob. They've been slaying Hunger in the backfield this whole season. Makes you wonder how Hunger finds the courage to get back out there.
Empty tummy, 42 pancakes.
The blitz is on, and Hunger is demolished once again.
It never stood a chance, Bob.
Tackle your hunger with IHOP's Game Day Family Feasts.
Hey, Bruin fans, this season UCLA alum and proud attorney sponsor of UCLA Athletics, Uncle Artie Perney, is offering free 15-minute consults for all Bruins fans, alumni, students, and faculty. Just go to plg.law or text Uncle directly on his cell at 310-739-6779 to coordinate your in-person or Zoom meeting. Having won 5 of the top 100 verdicts in 2020 in California and specializing in accidents, slip and falls, and business disputes, Uncle wants to help you maximize your settlement, too. We trust Uncle Artie, and you can, too. Go Bruins!
Have a question for any of our guests? Tweet us at UCLA Athletics using the hashtag Bruin Insider Show, or visit UCLABruins.com/insider to submit your question each week. Now, let's rejoin our hosts, Nick Cope, Ryan Finley, and Wayne Cook.
The celebrities keep on rolling in and showing up on the Bruin Insider Show. It is Mike Powell, former Bruin, two-time Olympic silver medalist, joining us now on the program. Mike, you had to wait a little bit longer to get your proper recognition as an inductee of the UCLA 2020 Hall of Fame. It was on Friday of this year, 2021, when you finally were enshrined. What does it mean to you to live eternally in the Bruin Hall of Fame?
Man, you know, I want to say that it means more to me than other people. You know, I think other people took it for granted going to UCLA. I had to go the back route to get there. Other people, even the star athletes, you know, because people are like, I thought you were in there already. Like, well, you know, I didn't have quite enough eligibility. And I'm not sure if they changed it because of the one and done thing for the NBA guys, or if they added my coaching stuff in there and add that as a year or something. Because it's supposed to be 2 years of varsity competition to get a letter. So I mean, to get into the Hall of Fame. So I thought I'd never make it. So for me, it's like, I'm like, wow, I made it. Cool. I thought it was never going to happen.
So you had to wait a little longer to have the whole ceremony. You're part of the class of 2020. And because of COVID, you're finally able to have that night. What sticks out to you? What are you going to remember?
Wow. Seeing the familiar faces that were there, people that were in the athletic department when I was in school, you know, back in 84, 85, and people I've stayed close with over the years, people who were really helpful in me graduating and met, you know, making my way through UCLA, you know, coming from Irvine, and then and just having my daughters there because, you know, my daughters were not alive when I was competing, so... I had a chance to, this was also my 30 year anniversary for breaking the world record. So they've been able to see me receive some awards, get some accolades. So it's cool for me because they get a chance to see that daddy really did do something.
Yes, he did. As a competitor and also as a coach, you're joined by Mike Powell, two-time world champion, two-time Olympic silver medalist. Hey, Bruin. He is on the Bruin Insider Show with Nick Cope. I'm Brian Fenley. So, Mike, you're known so much for what you did as an athlete, but as a coach as well. I think that's an underrated, underappreciated part of what you've been able to do in athletics. How would you sum up your impact in mentoring younger athletes and the way in which you've been able to take your experiences to build people up?
Well, when I was competing, people asked me if I wanted to be a coach. And I was like, no, I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to do television. I'm going to do this kind of business. I'm going to be doing this and doing that. And then about maybe 5 years after I retired, I went to get my master's degree at Cal State Fullerton in sports psychology. And they said, okay, well, if you coach the track program, we'll pay for school. I'm like, cool. You know, so I went out there and I did one day of practice and I had my head down. The coach came by and said, Mike, what's wrong? I said, I'm a coach. And so from that point on, I've been a coach. And I've been a coach at all levels, from age group. I've had success at all levels too. I've had age group national champions. I've had state champions. I've had NCAA champions. I've had Olympic and world championship medalists. You know, I've worked with athletes of different sports and stuff. You know, I worked with the Dodgers for a couple of years. So it's been a lot of fun for me at all different age groups. So for me, it's like, I just like being part of people's dreams and try to help them fulfill their dreams, because that was like the biggest thing for me. My whole life is about, you know, living a dream. So if I can be a part of somebody's dream, then I like to do that. And I'm like Mr. Motivator. So If you got like a goal, you want to lose weight or something, I'm the guy to call, because I'm going to motivate you. But I'm not going to bug you, but I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to call you right when I know you're about to have a bad snack. I'm going to say, what are you about to eat right now? Come on and meet me at 24 Hour Fitness right now. Come on, man. Let's go. Let's just go hang out. Come on, let's go hang out. And then we'll work out. I mean, I know how to motivate people and how to have fun. So that's why I love being a coach. I try to coach the way that I want to be coached. And I want to have fun. I try to have fun with everything that I do. So coaching is like perfect for me. And plus, I don't have to put like real clothes on. I can like wear sweats and shorts all year round. It's the best job ever. I'm not. That's the number one reason. And you can sit outside. Okay, and you're around young people too. So all those things.
I don't know about you, Brian. I'm ready to go crush a workout after this. Like, I'm fired up.
Hey, man, I'm 57 years old, man. I put 300 pounds, man, about a couple months ago, man. I PR'd on my bench about two or three months ago.
Mike, crazy. Is there a way, Mike, that when I go jogging next time that I can hear your voice in my earbuds playing through a podcast, something like that? Because whenever I feel like after I'm huffing and puffing after 100 yards and I say, you know what, I'll just do a 20-minute walk. No, Mike wants me to run. It's better for me, and I'm going to do what he says.
Well, you know, hopefully I would change your mindset in that you would want to run. Because I don't want you doing it for me. I want you doing it for whatever your passion is. So that's my thing. That's my coaching, and that's my passion. So I'm lucky. So what I try to do is help people find their passion. And hopefully, you know, if I find athletes that have anywhere near the kind of passion I have, then we're going to be in a good situation, because I'm like, I'm still crazy hyper. You know, it hasn't stopped. I mean, imagine me at 25, insane.
I wanted to go back. You brought up the Dodgers, and I read your title for them was speed consultant, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest titles I've ever heard of. Tell us about, what does a speed consultant do?
Well, actually, my track coach was developed their programs for a couple of years. And what I had done, he had did the major league teams, and I worked with the minor league system. So I would go down to the games and work with the guys on the running mechanics and the running technique of the guys who want the run, which wasn't the pitchers, that's for sure. And, but I mean, when I was down there, they assigned me guys like James Loney, guys like that were down there then. So it was my job to really look after the guys who were special and help them with the small things. I tried to explain to them, baseball is such a game of hit and miss. I said, if I can make you that much faster down to first base, I'm going to change the way you play. People have to play you on the infield, which is going uplift your, you know, your batting average and the way they play and everything else. So speed is the key to the game. And for me, I was always a jumper. I was a basketball player in high school. I was dunking from the free throw line. I would dunk from free throw line in the Wooden Center. I would dunk from the free throw line and pick up games. You know, so jumping was never my problem. I had to learn how to run, you know. So running is what I know how to do the best. And that's what I have to teach people how to do. And I take it, the scientific stuff, and make it real simple for them to understand. Because that's what it's about. You have to be about the science, because it's not just about their running. You have to understand how the body functions, and then you have to try to be as efficient as possible. It's all about the science.
Well, Mike, when I hear you talk, I feel like you're defying science. You're like a skywalker. You defy gravity in your ability to leap, and it's cool to see all that you're doing and giving back. But as far as your athletic talents, it's so much more, as you know. There's such a mental aspect to getting the most out of an athlete. And that's what people need to know about you, is that not only do you help people reach their athletic potential, but also to get there, not allowing their mental to get in the way. And that's where you also thrive as well. Mike Pal, UCLA Bruin, two-time Olympic silver medalist, two-time world champ. Thanks for joining Nick Cope. I'm Brian Fenley on the Bruin Insider Show. Mike Pell, I want his words in my life anthem. And we got a trivia question, and we're going to have that answered for you on the other side of this break. He is a world record holder since 1991 in what? No cheating. We'll tell you the answer next. You're listening to the Bruin Insider Show, UCLA and Learfield.
Well, Bob, I don't like Hunger's chances here. Not against this feast of an IHOP defensive line.
That's right, Jim. They got burgers, chicken sandwiches, french fries, bacon, and condiments as far as the eye can see.
Heck of a lineup, Bob. They've been slaying Hunger in the backfield this whole season. Makes you wonder how Hunger finds the courage to get back out there.
Empty tummy, 42 pancakes.
The blitz is on, and oh, Hunger is demolished once again.
It never stood a chance, Bob.
Tackle your hunger with IHOP's Game Day Family Feasts.
What do the Bruins and superstar Aaron Donald have in common? Both are powered by Ready, the official protein of UCLA Athletics. Ready is fueling Bruin athletes and Aaron with the best-in-class all-natural protein water, bars, powders, and snacks backed by cutting-edge sports nutrition. And Ready can power Bruin fans, too. Check out Ready on Amazon or at TeamReady.com. That's TeamReady.com. Ready, the official protein of UCLA Athletics. Championship nutrition, fueling UCLA champions.
The Bruin Insider Show continues now. Here's Nick Cope, Brian Finley, and Wayne Cook.
I don't know about you guys. I am still on a high from hearing Mike Powell, the two-time Olympic silver medalist, talk to us in that prior segment on the Bruin Insider Show. So we threw out a trivia question for you, and here is the answer. The question was, what is he a world record holder in since 1991? Mind you, that is 30 years. He is the current world long jump record holder. So when he says, Nick, that he is dunking from the free throw line, I think we can take his word for it, considering what he's doing globally right now.
Yeah, his jump was over 29 feet, if you can imagine that. I think I'd get about four. but I encourage everyone to go and, on YouTube, look up the 1991 World Championships in Tokyo long jump final. It's widely considered the greatest long jump final ever. It's him and Carl Lewis just going mano a mano back and forth as to who can beat one another. And it turns out in the process that Mike Powell breaks the record set by Bob Beamon back in 68. That was a record that people didn't think would be broken by Beamon. And then Lewis breaks it. And then Mike Powell breaks Lewis and sets the world record again. It's really incredible. Take the time to watch it. Really thankful for Mike Powell. I'm juiced up just after listening to him.
How cool is it to have a job title where you are a speed consultant for the LA Dodgers? Yeah, what do you do?
So
well,
envious I'm a speed... of that.
Yeah. Hey, the Dodgers could have needed it in this latest postseason run here. But for the great Gabe Genovese, our producer, Paul Engel, Stephen Hartzell, Damon Dukakis, our great crew here, Wayne Cook, Nick Cope, I am Brian Fenley. If you missed anything, download the podcast. We'll talk to you right here next Tuesday.
This has been the Bruin Insider Show on the UCLA Sports Network from Learfield. Your weekly look inside UCLA athletics. Join us next week for another hour of the best Bruins talk anywhere.